From WUGA in Athens, this is The Top Line, politics with a focus on Georgia. I'm Martin Matheny. This is a new segment that we're bringing you in the weeks leading up to the March 1st Georgia presidential primaries. We've got a couple of experts here, and we're going to unpack politics for you, both the national and the state stuff. Joining me this week, we have Charles Bullock, the Richard B. Russell Professor of Political Science, and Josiah Meigs, Distinguished Teaching Professor here at UGA. And Houston Gaines, Vice President of the UGA Student Government Association, Campaign Consultant, Campaign Manager in 2014 for Athens Mayor Nancy Denson. Gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks
for the opportunity.
We've had a week now to unpack the results from Iowa. New Hampshire voters have their say today, but I want to start just a little bit closer to home in the state of South Carolina, the Palmetto State. How does the South Carolina electorate resemble the electorate here in Georgia? Is it similar?
Yes, it's very similar, particularly in terms of its racial makeup on the Democratic side. Roughly 30% of the entire state in both South Carolina and Georgia is African American. Now, in terms of what the primary electorate will look like on the Democratic side, it'll be majority, indeed probably somewhere close to 60% African American. So that's far, far different than the very white states of New Hampshire and Iowa that have the first two to vote.
And on the Republican side, Houston, how does the electorate differ from, say, Iowa and New Hampshire?
Sure. Well, South Carolina, I think, will be the most conservative state of the early states, including Nevada afterwards. And so Iowa is more conservative than New Hampshire. New Hampshire is more of kind of the establishment state. And so I think you'll see someone like a Ted Cruz do really well in South Carolina. So I do think that the makeup will be the most conservative that the candidates have seen to that point. But it'll be interesting to see what candidates are left at that stage, too.
So can Georgia voters, Georgia political watchers, can we look to South Carolina as sort of a bellwether for what could happen on March 1st in Georgia?
Absolutely. I think that South Carolina will be the most similar, as Dr. Bullock just pointed out, to Georgia. And so I'd suspect that whatever happens in South Carolina will be an early blueprint of Georgia.
Georgia is a big deal on March 1st. 76 Republican delegates, 116 Democratic delegates. That's the second most delegates up for stake for both sides on March 1st. How big a deal is Georgia?
Well, it's a really big deal because that's what you're out playing for right now is to win those delegates. And the one state that has more than Georgia is Texas. And on the Republican side, that's a home field advantage for Cruz. So my expectation is that the other Republicans will almost concede that to him so that they'll be concentrating on Georgia and the other states where nobody has the home field advantage that Cruz has.
And a big piece of the early states is what the media has to say. And I don't think you'd get much of any flack if you don't win Texas because the media is assuming Ted Cruz is going to win. And so I don't think it's worth the dollars going out there and trying to put up a fight when it's almost certain he'll come away with it.
And a quick question for you as well, Houston. Who's got the most to lose? Who's got the most to gain on March 1st in Georgia?
I think that Ted Cruz and Donald Trump are the two guys who have the most to lose because they're definitely the ones polling at the top right now. And so I think that those two candidates need to do extremely well and, you know, theoretically come in 1 and 2. Then I think Marco Rubio probably has the most to gain because if he comes in and does very well in Georgia, then, you know, he's proving that he can win a conservative state.
Yeah, we'll still be playing the expectations game. And so to some extent, this is going to be defined by the media in terms of who's supposed to win, who's supposed to come in second. If you do better than you're expected to do, then you chalk that up as a win, where even if you win, but the projections are you're supposed to win by 15 or 20 points and you barely eke out a 2 to 3 point victory, then in the eyes of the media, you probably have lost.
One more presidential question. Any surprises tonight in New Hampshire that you see coming?
Yeah, I guess if I really saw them coming, I wouldn't be surprised.
Wouldn't be much of a surprise.
Right, yeah. I'm guessing that one of the governors, and I'm not sure even which one, will probably do reasonably well and in that sense beat expectations and may get a boost as they move on to South Carolina.
I think Trump is going to underperform his numbers. I also agree that a governor will probably do pretty well and might beat Rubio for second.
Trump will underperform but still come in first, do you think?
I think so, yeah.
All right, and we'll leave it there for now. You've been listening to The Top Line on WUGA with my guests, UGA political science professor Charles Bullock and campaign consultant Houston Gaines. Gentlemen, thank you both again.
Thank you.
And if you just can't get enough politics, please make some time to join us tonight as WUGA presents NPR's live coverage of the New Hampshire primary. I'm Martin Matheny. Thanks for listening.